You are. I'd like to call the order at 4 o'clock. You are a meeting. It's January 24th, 2024. It's 4:03 p.m. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'll get my mouth working as soon as I can.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Board Chair Preeden.
I am here.
Board Member Blum.
Here.
Board Member Letts.
Here.
Board Member Ross.
Present.
Board Member Cobb.
Silence. Okay, so we have a quorum. Four of us are here. Probably need a visitor communication. Would anybody like to speak to the URA board? Okay.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
I would second that.
We have a motion, we have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I saw four. Okay. Thank you. Before we get to council business, everybody welcome Rebecca Green to her first meeting.
She's got the deer in the headlight look. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
You can always tell the newbies.
All right. On to council business. Our first order of business for the URA board is resolution 2024-01, interfund loan. Director of Finance O'Neill.
Yes, thank you. So this is the same song, third verse for consideration of these loans. As you know, this is essentially a way to transfer money from the Urban Renewal Debt Service Fund to the Urban Renewal Project Fund. And that is largely for the US 20 Locust Roundabout Project. And the reason for that, this kind of process is that the both URA funds, the Debt Service and the Project Fund, have certain tasks that they can only do. The Urban Renewal Fund is the fund that brings in all of the tax increment that comes into the agency, and what it can do with that only is pay debt. So in order to make that available fund balance available to the project fund, the city effectively loans money to the Urban Renewal Agency, and then the debt fund in turn loans moves that money back into the city. So you create a little bit of available cash for the project fund. And this was all budgeted this year, as you remember, in the process for $500,000. I'm not sure. She's got it up there, but if you will look at the, Carrie's fancy flow chart that spells out kind of the fundamental process for this transaction. And that's about all I have. Otherwise, I appreciate that. And I think you'll probably see this again in the regular council meeting tonight.
It's possible.
I'll try to mix the words up a little bit more.
The flow chart is now up on the screen. If anybody
wants to look at it. She does have proprietary, yeah. So I can't put that on my screen. She's copywritten it.
Awesome. and just for the record, board member Cobb is now here. So we have all five of us.
Sorry for being.
No, it's okay. I'm not trying to call you out. Just want everybody to know you're here. So everybody's here. Does anybody have any questions for Joe about this?
No question. Can I give him a compliment?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it was very easy to understand when I read the documentation. It was very helpful.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I said I apologize because it actually is a difficult concept to grasp. So thank you for that.
Is this your first time with the URA moving the money around part?
I think it's my third, but I finally get it.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, that's right. I think that's about average. It took me two or three times for sure. So, because the concept is a little foreign for
it is
private enterprise. You know, it's not this. It's not the same way people do things. So,
yeah.
All right. It looks like we can probably entertain a motion if anybody wants to present one.
I move to approve the consent agenda is already done.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. I move to approve the resolution 2024-01.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any Nays? No? Good.
I'll need the horses outside.
All right. There you go. Our second order of business is Resolution 2024-02, Workforce Housing Program, and City Manager Jordan Wheeler will be leading the discussion, apparently.
I'm going to give it a shot, yes.
There you go.
Talk about workforce housing. Thank you, Mayor or Board Chair. First meeting in the Sisters Urban Renewal Agency, I believe. But thank you. And purpose of tonight really is to introduce this program. I think we've previewed it a little bit in regards to the workforce housing goals that the council has and the Urban Renewal Agency has and what's in currently in our Urban Renewal Agency plan. We've had some interest over the last few months in workforce housing. Council's heard that at public comments. We've had a work session about potential projects in the rural area that could benefit from a financial assistance program to establish more workforce housing. So staff have been working behind the scenes to create a program that would mimic what our affordable housing program parameters are. As you recall, the city has an existing financial assistance program, loans, grants that go towards affordable housing. And so this would be a program that would be very similar, but targeted towards workforce housing. I explained some of this in the staff report to kind of break down where workforce housing comes from in terms of a goal for the city and why we're proposing this program. It's been discussed through our comprehensive plan effort that we need all sorts of housing within the City of Sisters that support both low and moderate income individuals and families. We recently did our 2022 housing plan, which identified a need for housing of all across the spectrum. The Urban Renewal Plan was recently updated in 2022 as well, with an adopted plan list that includes 400,000 that would go towards workforce housing. And then the City Council goal around the supporting and leveraging efforts to create more affordable and workforce housing too. This program would be designed to fill an unmet need. We know we need more workforce housing. We've heard that. We know there's efforts from Habitat for Humanity, from Rooted Homes to establish more housing that would support individuals and families in that workforce category, teachers, nurses, city employees, those jobs that are between, the 80 to 150% of the AMI. We have an existing affordable housing program that has been pretty successful, I would say, very successful, and also assistance programs towards unhoused and low income as well. So this would supplement that program. And really what we're talking about again is, this program would be targeted towards that that range, which historically doesn't see a lot of funding. There's a lot more funding for affordable housing, the state funding, grant programming that goes towards, the 60 or less AMI, including the city's program. And often we forget about that middle range, especially in a market like this. And I'll show a graph of where we're at currently with our housing prices. That level of housing is more needed every day. And what this would do is this funding would help, offset the costs to a developer, nonprofit, or housing agencies that could construct workforce housing. So what we're talking about with the AMI gets a little confusing. Median family income or the annual median income for our area in Deschutes County. This is taken from HUD, which is the metric that's used when determining housing vouchers and other assistance programs. But in 2023, we're looking at 104,000 as a median family income. And I think that's based off a family of four. And they have other inputs that kind of calculate the income levels depending on whether it's a rental, what size of family. But if you're just kind of thinking about what kind of incomes are we talking about, 80 to 150 would then be, since it's around 100,000 in the Ben Redmond Sisters metro area, it's basically 80,000 to 150,000, just using round numbers, right, from that 80% to 150. This is a graphic you may have seen before. The city of Bend uses this as they talk about their housing affordability and their programs. This helps kind of illustrate what we're talking about and kind of relate it to jobs. When you're talking about that workforce housing between 150% and 80%, you know, what kind of jobs are we talking about? And it ranges from, like I said, teachers, foresters, dental hygienists. You know, you look at, you know, not pretty middle class, good paying wage jobs, but then you look at how much you need to earn to be able to afford the median home price in the Deschutes, in Deschutes County. And here, I think this was from last summer, but that's the median home price of $785. And I think that's for Bend. Sisters, this is reported quarterly. This is the Beacon Appraisal Group does a Beacon report, I think on monthly basis, but the Sisters area and other rural areas such as Deschutes County, they typically report out on quarterly. In December, the median house price in Sisters country was $755,000. So if you go back to this graph and look at what these jobs are and how much you can afford before your rent or mortgage burden, you see there's a gap even for folks within that workforce range of 80 to 150%. I mentioned this at the get-go, but this would mimic our existing affordable housing program, which I think was established in 2019. And our development services department manages that program. We recently put out the call for proposals for that. And so we based it off of that program, of course, kind of changed it from city to urban renewal agency, because this would be a program available for just projects in the urban renewal district. And again, we're talking about an area that is most of our downtown commercial, but extends to the north and south as well. So these are the properties that would be eligible to receive funding. The applicants must be either a housing authority or a nonprofit or a for-profit developer that builds affordable or workforce housing. And qualified expenses are pretty broad, but have to be related to the construction costs that basically, you know, would produce workforce housing units. And like the affordable housing program, I think we'd give preference or additional points to projects that would leverage other existing funding, state funding, or other grants that they're receiving to build more affordable units. One question that may come up is this: the program is different from the affordable housing program in the fact that in our urban renewal plan, we have a defined amount already in our project list. And that comes from the fact that urban renewal plans have a maximum indebtedness. And based on the fact that our district census in 2030, we have a kind of a preliminary calculation from 2022 that we have $4.7 million remaining in the district to spend on projects on the project list. And one of those projects is the workforce housing financial assistance. So it was identified to having $400,000 to go towards workforce housing. It would be up to the board's discretion on how that is allocated. We left that pretty flexible and up to your discretion. It could be all allocated all at once. It could be per application. It could be something the board decides, well, let's put in the budget $100,000 for this program this year, $100,000 next year, and kind of, you know, string it out over a series of years. I think that gives you the most flexibility as we do a call for proposals to see what comes in and what the council would like to, or the board would like to fund. And then it would be subject to annual appropriations like we do with the affordable housing program when we do the budget. So it'd be something that we would get applications by April 1st. Staff would do the initial review. We'd forward those to the council or the board for final award. And then that would feed into putting that into the budget for the next fiscal year. And so next steps, discussion tonight, questions, if the board feels comfortable with moving forward this program. We did put in the resolution and the attachment, which is the program criteria. And again, that is very closely mimics the existing affordability program or housing affordability program. And if the board does adopt the resolution tonight, we'll be prepared to send out the notice of funding opportunity as early as next month or a week from today, essentially. And we would need applications back by April 1st to be able to review for those to council and build those into our budget for the next fiscal year. So turn over to you guys for discussion.
Okay. I'm going to just throw the first question out if anybody doesn't mind. Just to be clear, we don't have to decide on disbursement or when and if and how much at this time. We're just establishing the program with the full amount or maximum amount that we're saying, $400,000. And then at a later time after or when it's time, that's when we'll decide if it's a program or programs, if it's one disbursement or three.
Sure. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Want to make sure.
Does that mean before or after we send out an RFP?
So it would be after. So you'd send out the notice of funding opportunity. You would, and I think we'd characterize it as we have up to $400,000 that have been earmarked for workforce housing projects. And then you see what comes in. I mean, maybe you get two projects, maybe you get one, maybe you get applications and say, we want all 400,000, right? And then it would be, you know, with our staff assistance and reviewing the applications of whether you want to allocate that all, or do you want to, you know, maybe hold some back for the next year?
So you don't think it's important before we send out the RFP for us to have any discussion about whether we want to do 100,000 a year or whether we want to do it all at once? We can have that.
More clarity is always helpful, right? Like if we sent out the notice and it said $100,000 will be available for this year, right? That gives people that are going to submit a proposal much, you know, better sense of what they're going to ask for, how to craft their application. Sure.
I got lost in the money piece and that we kind of talk about the exact part. Is this $400,000? That's it for the remaining time that the URA is in existence. Is that what I'm hearing? Or is it 400,000 a year?
It's 400,000 is it.
Okay. That's what I wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. I my brain switched off in that discussion and all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, I didn't know.
So. Yeah.
No, I didn't quite understand that either. And there's no way to, is that kind of codified? Like,
no, it would be.
Is there a way to replenish it as we get more?
Yeah, I think it's a minor amendment to the plan that you would adopt. Okay. Like if you wanted to change the project list, right, and move money around within the remaining maximum indebtedness, our constraint in the urban renewal plan is the 2030. And how much, you know, debt we can issue by 2030 based off of our tax increment.
And a follow-up to that, not having been around when this one was established, is there an ability to redraw and resubmit an urban renewal plan for another part of the town or some subset of that when this goes away? Or is that?
Oh, yeah. It's a heavy lift. You definitely can. Yeah.
It's a heavier lift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Okay.
There's new rules, always new rules coming out with a renewal. I mean, you need the overlapping districts to agree to any major amendments or establish a new district. You can increase the boundaries of the district, but, you know, there's certain size limitations, I think 10 or 20% of the city boundaries. So, yeah. And I think we're planning to do a work session or more of a goal setting session with a renewal. You know, we felt like there was a little more of a time of the essence on this program and at least getting it started and then have a broader conversation.
Thank you for the clarification. That was my understanding from having worked with other agencies, but I also understand the political aspect of going back to our other taxing districts and saying, well, we're going to extend our renewal agency and pull the money away from you again for another 5, 10, 15 years. So we need to be sure we know what we're doing.
Yeah, I was in Hood River over the summer for the Oregon Mayor's Association conference, and they have 4 districts, and they're not that much bigger. I mean, they're bigger than us, but they're not that much bigger.
No, they're not.
And they have 4 different urban districts for different strategies.
Have the brewery district.
Yes. Waterfront. Down by the water. Yeah. The waterfront's really cool.
The orchard district.
You know, as far as, you know, we're kind of in question and discussion, and I really see this as an opportunity to kind of get a feel for the program. And, you know, I'm not shy. If I look at the project list and go, man, we really need housing, I'm not shy going back next year or 2 years down the road and going, hey, maybe we need to, you know, look at those projects and, you know, if we need to regroup and maybe find more money for housing. I'm not for or against it. You know what I mean? I think that we can definitely evaluate this first go around and see what happens.
Has our projects list identified the maximum projects for the dollars available? So when we approved the last project list, it included projects for all the money and $400,000 for workforce housing.
That's correct. Yep. It was that 4.7 million, if you remember.
We're in the middle of sharpening our pencils on that. Our TIF has grown, our tax increment. So I think there's opportunity to look at that again to see, do we have a little bit more that we can get of our maximum indebtedness? Because we were leaving money on the table by setting the sunset date at 2030. So there might be a little more that we can squeeze out before that date to debt finance to do more projects or do.
We also have inflation. Too.
Yeah, right. So projects like Adams, for example.
That's the biggest project, right? Adams Avenue besides the roundabout.
Yep. And that was a $3 million and now it's a $4 million and Urban Renewal is supposed to pay half of that. So you're already seeing that pressure.
Yeah.
Right.
And so in terms of Andrea's question earlier, and your comment of, you know, flexibility is important. Will we go out with the RFPs? How's that going to be worded? Is it going to be worded up to $400,000? Is it going to be worded up to $100,000? Is that what you're asking us to do today? That's kind of what I'm trying to think of next steps and pieces. If you throw the 400 out there.
Well, I mean, it's kind of
maybe
like
getting a lot of people in the door.
It's kind of like throwing a ham in the Amazon River and seeing how many piranhas show up. You know,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And I don't mean it as a negative. I just mean it's one piece of ham, right? So
it's like throwing SDCs out there and see how many letters you get from certain organizations.
The piranhas are lining up. No, I'm just kidding.
So when we advertise the affordable housing program, there is an amount, right? Because there's each year we
budgeted get, amount.
There's a budget amount, and it's sort of known what we're pulling in. But there's also we have a kind of a reserve fund established,
correct.
Right? So we're in kind of a similar situation where, you know, it is the council's discretion whether you want to, you know, for that program, give out the 200,
whatever the reserve is, yeah. Yep, up to the maximum.
Back to
yeah.
Well-Rooted. Remember how much, what did they ask us for?
250.
Rooted was 100,000.
100,000.
Yep, 50 per unit.
Units?
For 2 units.
For 2 units.
I believe.
Yeah.
100,000 each or 100,000 total?
I think it was total. Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of maybe a bellwether to kind of throw out that, you know, $400,000, $50,000 a unit or something like that. I mean, we want to get the most for our money. That's what we want to get.
You know, and I think that
or do we just leave it and see what shows up? How many piranhas come to the dock?
Yeah, I think that this council historically has been pretty cognizant of what the return on investment is for these types of pots.
Yes.
So, I mean, everybody has their own idea, right? We're five separate people and we're all voting on our own on
$20 and 32 cents.
I think that everybody realizes that we don't have enough money to help every program that comes before us. And so one of the things that we're always looking at is kind of talking about what's our best return on investment. And that's part of that RFP process, I believe, is that, if three people come before us and one person wants 400,000 for one unit, I think that, that might not be as strong a position as somebody coming with 30 units or whatever, you know what I mean?
So we could throw the 400 out there.
We still don't have to give away about 100.
That's what I was going to say. We could throw the 400 out there for April 1 consideration, but not necessarily
award it.
Is that?
Yeah, we have the power.
I'm kind of looking at what that does to staff and the work and those sorts of things.
That's
as opposed to us.
Switch, though, isn't it?
No, it's a piranha, ham and the piranha in the river.
I mean, until you get proposals, we've heard, early proposals and, you know, what I would call pre-application type information and stuff. But until we actually ask for actual applications, I don't think we really know what we have.
Yeah.
If we're interested in moving forward as fast as we can,
yeah,
that's part of the back of my head is rather than chunking it into little chunks, that doesn't get us towards that goal line. And with building costs going up, the money may do more for us. up front, is more units or whatever. I don't know.
I look back at the Northwest Housing Alternatives, yeah. And the way that went, and as an applicant, they were very, very explicit about saying, hey, this much money will get us, leverage us this for this next process and this next process. And I think the very well stated applicants will be able to do the same thing.
I would hope so.
And that also, if someone can't meet the bar in that area in an application, well then, you know, I can't be blamed for that. Right. Yeah. So I think that's part of the process to be.
Yep. Just some clarification back of mind as we move forward.
Yeah. This. I mean, if you remember that work session with Habitat for Humanity, you know, we did not have a structure in place to really facilitate a request for the funding that had been already earmarked for workforce housing. So when you have a proposal or you have an idea out there, we had to create a fair and, you know, equitable way for interested developers, housing authorities to be able to seek funding, right? And, you know, we've had this in our plan. We've had it kind of in the works as a council goal to kind of figure out a way to use those dollars or leverage those dollars. We needed to create a program. We thought, you know, something that's familiar to the community, something that's familiar to the council, the affordable housing program was probably the easiest way to create something that, you know, works for staff, works for the council, and is familiar to developers.
I would recommend that we do not limit it to $100,000, because I think that would limit the type of proposals that could come in. And I think it would be easier to leverage $400,000 or $200,000 than it would one. And so I think we need, and then if smaller projects come in, fine. But I don't want to discount a major project that might be the best because we have limited it.
Well said.
So can we do a range? Can we say between 200 and 400,000?
I'd just say 400.
You say, you know, up to, and to the board's discretion.
Yeah.
So I have a fine. Go ahead. Oh, no, you weren't finished. Go ahead.
We might get a couple of proposals that set aside, you know, a 200 each.
Maybe. So
that's.
Mm-hmm. You know. I think that would be the goal, would be to see what comes in the door.
Yeah.
And certainly, as you said, if we have seven proposals, let's say, you know, we can divvy up, we can pick the best, we can all award it all to one. That's what it feels to me like I hear it being.
Yeah, I think some of these organizations would be possibly, depending on other funding that they receive, open to negotiation on, basically, because what you're doing is trying to buy units in a
right
way, right?
Exactly.
You're trying to buy as many workforce housing units as you can with these dollars. And, you know, if they, well, you give us 400, we'll build 10. If you give us 200, we'll build 5. Oh, okay. We want to give this other group 5 too, or get 5 over here. So you might be able to negotiate to spread that around.
So is there any advantage or disadvantage if we wanted to just offer up all the 400,000 this year? I mean, I'm on one side of it, I could see it as like, well, we're done until 2030. Don't worry about it anymore. But is there, because it's still a loan, right, from one account to another. So are there any advantages to just getting it all appropriated now or versus parsing it out over the years on our end? That's my mm-hmm. first question, you know, internally as a city.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can always make the numbers work, you know, whatever the timing might be. I think we have the flexibility to do that. I think that's just kind of a matter of, as Jordan spoke about, just kind of the finance strategy and the timing of that. And then where we want to go with the project list, with the current project list, whether that needs to be expanded or
modified.
There's probably, sorry.
No, go ahead.
There's two, I think, considerations that we're looking at. One, we have to go out for financing to do with our project list for the next fiscal year. And we know we have the roundabout art, we have this, and a few other things, right? And, you know, there is probably an advantage of, you know, instead of piecemealing loans or bonds, like bundling projects, right, to go get that financing, either a line of credit, which would be nice, or a loan or selling a bond. The other consideration is, I think you're probably thinking about too, is, that 400,000 is not going up by inflation each year either, right? So, you know, our money is probably not going to go as far. Of course, interest rates could drop, right? So money, borrowing money might get cheaper in the future, hopefully. But building a home, material costs and everything are not going to get cheaper. So our $400,000 might go further today than it will a couple of years or in 2029.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, I was thinking that as well. The other, the flip side, the other thing to consider is that, I know that in the short session, obviously the governor is saying that, you know, she's just going to push one big bill with a lot of housing, issues around it. And, you know, we know any project that we're going to give money to, we'll probably have other funding sources, other probably public funding sources, right? That's the point, is for us to not pay for it, but, you know, other funding to come with it. And I'm just thinking out loud here, is there advantage to our city doing that now, in the spring, versus waiting to see what kind of comes out of Salem, which, you know, most of the time is not worth waiting to see, but it would be hate to, like, you know, get to next year and they're like, hey, there's all these matching funds and all this stuff available. And we're like, well, we're out of money. I'm just throwing that out there.
I think what they said though too is we aren't really out of money.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
We'd have to shift
There's
the project
a way
list
to here. Look at
yeah.
the funds and the interest rates and whatever, that there could be some opportunities, yeah. even if we do spend it all the first year.
I keep going back to the NHA discussion, and the conversation early on was, this is the first layer of the sandwich. You know what I mean? Our money is like the first shot at it. And then the state comes on, the county comes on. There's other federal things that build the sandwich up to all of a sudden you've got enough money for a project. And I think that I think the exciting thing about this is that this is a new fund. We've done the Affordable Housing Fund. This is a new one for workforce housing. So it's the next step up, which we need desperately, obviously. And I think that if it's fairly successful, it gives us something to build on in the future, and about how do we make this a more permanent rotating fund source, so we have keep rolling people into this workforce housing out of affordable housing, so we can make more room in affordable housing for trying to pull people out of houses.
Well,
because if you don't help the middle people, the affordable housing people have nowhere to go. They're going to stay at the same level.
I would assume too that in proposals that are submitted, I haven't seen what the RFP is going to look like, but the proposals that are submitted, one of the things you'd want them to address is how they would use our dollars to leverage other funding sources in order to get the maximum amount of project done for the money. That we're just not going to say build two or build one $400,000 house and call it good.
Yeah.
I think that there's an opportunity in there to look. I hear what you're saying, Jennifer. I guess that my biggest concern is, given even with the short session, I'm not sure how much the governor can push through, and frankly, how much of that will make it over to this side of the mountains. And then second, how much of that will make it to this end of that side of the mountains. It'll be in Bend, it'll be in Madras, it'll be in Redmond. And they'll say, oh, by the way, we got $75.42 for Sisters if you'd like it.
Well, and also historically, there's been way more money for low-income housing,
right? And we're looking
than really, workforce housing. Yeah. And I know that there's been a lot of talk around workforce housing, and that number's coming up. But I'm not savvy on what's available yeah. out there. But historically, I'm looking at Eric. There's been less money available for workforce housing as well.
But in this housing bill, there is a big push for that middle housing. The word middle housing, which I think is even a different class, it's part workforce and a little above, I think.
Yeah, probably referring more to the type of housing, less single family, but more like quads and duplexes. And
I gotcha. Yeah. But there's been a big push in that, and I've seen it in the language. And so the thing that excites me is not, you know, how applicants might build the sandwich. Mine is just my excitement is that, hey, we're creating a new, it's a new tool in the toolkit. And that's the coolest thing. That we have $400,000, that's pretty nice. I mean, do I wish it was $4 million? Maybe we could do something with $4 million, but what we have is $400,000. And I think that leveraging it, at least the opportunity to leverage most of it now, is good as we can do. And you know what, if the RFP comes in and, you know, there's only one and they really only need a couple hundred thousand, we don't have to spend it all. That's the great thing. I think that's a strength, not a weakness.
And I'd love to see an RFP where, I mean, most people do this, but where they parse out their project, you know, it's like, hey, we want 200, but if we get 100, this is what we can do. If we get 150, this is how much more we can do. And 200, you know, I mean, that's obviously something.
Gives us lots of options.
Right. It gives us.
It's a pretty intense application. I think we asked for pro formas and all that. So we can get into the.
I've just been reading through the more carefully the actual resolution, and there's a lot of flexibility for us in this.
Yeah.
We're not tied to any one particular direction as a council, as a board.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we had three applicants and they all stunk, we could just say, well, sorry.
Yep.
We've said no before to other in other situations.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either.
I just want that for the record.
I have a question. We have an affordable housing fund, correct? And what's the balance in that?
Yeah, just a little bit shy of that.
I'm sorry,
about 165,000.
We allocated some of that out.
We did. We kind of held back the reserve.
Yeah, that's what there was more money in that originally as well.
Yep, we were a little bit uncertain.
That was a bigger number before Northwest Alden Alternative stepped up to the plate, correct?
Yeah, we actually held a little bit about of that even back in the budget discussions because we were unsure about whether or not NHA was going to be able to get that additional grant funding. And then with the county relationship, would they need to re-leverage that $100,000 from the prior grant application?
Okay. Any other questions or discussion?
I'm good.
Okay.
So if the board is comfortable, you could adopt the resolution tonight if you don't have any changes to the program and if you're comfortable proceeding.
I would move approval of resolution 2024-02 workforce housing program.
I second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Is there any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So moved. It passes. All right. There's nothing more on the agenda, so we're going to take a little break. Thank you, everybody. We'll start at 5 o'clock.
Look at that.
Good discussion, everybody.